We come today to John 14 and words that we have often heard at funerals and so on. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. And Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by me. When we look at those words, and again, they roll off freely because of having heard them and having memorized them as a child and then recited them and read them at numerous funerals. And then plenty of times of looking at this passage, I have to say that as I studied for this sermon, there were things that I learned and I was stretched in terms of coming to grips with what is being taught in this very passage. In our last study, we noted the assurances for troubled hearts, the response of trust in the promises that Jesus made. That Jesus said, believe in God, now believe in me, believe also in me. And then he promised that there is a home for us, that we don't die and just rot, that when we die, we go to be with the Lord, that though our body decays in the ground, there's a day where we plant it as a seed because we're looking for the day when Jesus keeps his promise and he will come again and receive us unto him. That where he is, we will join with him also. That we will have access uninhibited. We have access now to the Father, but we will have access uninhibited then because we will be in the very presence of the Father. As Madeline has prayed a number of times in the course of this past week, that Graham has gone to a place where there's no need of the sunshine because Jesus is there. The glories of heaven and all he promises that he will come again and receive us. Marvelous words. But you see, Thomas is gripped by this because you come to verse 4 and he says, and whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Then Jesus saith unto him, I am the way. When we come to this, we come to the matter of where we will spend eternity, and how we know where we will spend eternity. That generates a question. That generated a question for Thomas. Jesus made the statement of saying, whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. And so I come, first of all, to my first point tonight, and that is the way that we must follow. The way that we must follow. Jesus told those at the meal, and the meal was ended, but they're having this conversation afterward. He told them in chapter 13, it's recorded that he was going away. Go back with me to verse 31. Therefore, when he was gone out, Judas Iscariot was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come, so now I say to you. Here, he reiterates what he had said back in chapter 8 to the Jews who were gathered in unbelief, and he said, you cannot go where I'm going. But now he says this to those who are gathered with him in the upper room, where I'm going, you cannot come. You cannot come. So he's told them that. He's given them that word of instruction. And then he told Peter in verse 36, as we saw a couple of weeks ago, Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? And Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but afterwards thou shalt follow me. Here, it is a reminder that he has said to Peter, Peter, where I'm going, you cannot come. Now, there will be a day, there will be a time when you will, but not now. John tells us that Jesus knew his time. Go back with me to chapter 13 and verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. So he knew the time, he knew that he was departing from this world and he was going to the Father. All right? Verse 3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God. Very fascinating. He understood where he was from. He understood why he was here. And he understood where he was going. Well, where I come from, why I'm here, where I'm going. He understood those things. Then we note that he tells them that they knew the way where he was going. You know the way where I'm going. Now, we've been looking at a book on Sunday mornings in the book of Amos. The book of Amos. I'm going to ask you to turn back with me. No, I'm not going to re-preach the message from Amos. But I want you to go back with me to Amos chapter 8, the text that we had last Lord's Day. Amos chapter 8 and verse 14. Well, verse 13. In that day shall their fair virgins and young men faint for thirst. They that swear by the sin of Samaria that say, thy God, O Dan, liveth. And so they've embraced a different God. They've embraced someone else. And here, the wording in Hebrew is, in the King James translation, it says, the manner of Beersheba liveth, even they shall fall and never rise up again. Okay. In the word, in the Hebrew, the word manner is the word way. The way of Beersheba liveth. It's the Hebrew word. And I have to wonder if part of the response in the New Testament is in contrast, in contradiction to this matter of this false way that is referred to in the Old Testament. That he comes here and he says, no, it's when they swear by the way of Beersheba, or the way of Beersheba liveth, even they shall fall and never rise again. Now back with me to John chapter 14. Thomas notes, Jesus said, and whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? Thomas notes that they don't know where, and if they don't know the destination, how can they possibly know the way? Well, I find that striking. Jesus responds by saying, I'm not giving you a roadmap. Follow me. I am the way. Last Friday, as we were headed to the British Museum, I had received instructions from several folks within the congregation of saying we were to meet at Russell Square in London. Now, I don't know that I've ever been to Russell Square in my life prior to that, and so I was a bit apprehensive of wondering, how am I going to get there? What am I going to do? My daughter Madeline pulls out her tube map, and she stretches it out, and she says, from Liverpool Station, we need to go and get off at King's Cross, St. Pancras, and then get on the Victoria line and the blue line. Got on that, went so far, got off of that, and got on another line, the Piccadilly line. We got on a line, and eventually we got to Russell Square. I looked at the map, and I looked at the map on in the tube and so on, and you were able to count the stops, and you could check with each other and say, yep, next stop, oh, okay, next stop, okay, we're good. And we got there. But see what Jesus is saying here. He's not giving us a specific map. He's saying, I am the way. It comes into a personal relationship rather than having a set down formula that you can follow. That's a bit nervous. Last week there had been a different time where Madeline and her sister and her mom, my wife and older daughter, had been in Amsterdam. And they were to meet up at a particular place in Amsterdam, and they did not have a map of the transit system in Amsterdam, or a clear map. And so they're looping, and peradventure, they met on one of the subway, Madeline saw them as a subway car was coming through, and so she dashes and jumps on the same subway car, and they were reunited. Or they may have still been looping around Amsterdam, I don't know. But I appreciated the fact that she was so meticulous on wanting to find the right map and the right direction for Friday of this week, because of what had happened to them on whatever day it was last week, when they were in Amsterdam. They missed, and they lost a chunk of time and so on, and my wife said, well, when you get on and you think, well, it's headed this way, so that must be taking you this way, except when you're on some of these transit systems, they do all kinds of interesting twists and turns on the way that they go. So it is, dear ones, when Jesus said, I am the way. There are fascinating twists and turns that come on the way. There are not things that you can script and say, here's what I will do, and here's the way I'm going to do this, and here's exactly how I'm going to plan this out, boom, 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 I'll have all these things mapped out, and here's what I'm going to do. Rather, Jesus bids us to come and to follow Him. How can He say that? All that they had learned, all that they had seen of Him, all that He had done, to this point, comes down to this very point in time where He says, you believe in God? Believe in Me. Trust in Me also. Verse 1. Now, what are some of the things He had done? Well, remember in John chapter 1 and verse 29, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The Lamb is going to die so that the people are allowed to live. John 1:29. Or if you go to John chapter 10, look at verse 9. John chapter 10 and verse 9. Let me back up to verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them, again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Here you find Jesus saying, I am the door. I am the approach to salvation. I am the means of salvation. And so He has said, He is the Lamb, or it's been described, He's the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. Now, He's the door, the means of getting in. But then notice in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Here, the shepherd dies that the sheep might live. Astounding. The shepherd cares for his sheep so much that he gives himself that they might survive. John Davis, who was the speaker for, I believe for one of the camps this summer in Singapore, John Davis, in his book on Psalm 23, tells of shepherds that he knew of in the Middle East who actually, in the midst of trying to protect their flock, ended up being killed by wild animals or by enemies who came to attack the flock, and they actually died in the process of defending their flock. Well, Jesus has described himself as being the good shepherd who lays down his life. The shepherd dies that the sheep might live. So Jesus said, "I am the way. I am the way." Such experiences of being lost and not being able to meet up, like Madeline and Beth and Heidi had in Amsterdam, are very unsettling. Thomas was very practical. He remembered the things. Remember back in chapter 11, verse 16, they're going up from being across the Jordan. They cross over from the area where they were in chapter 11, verse 16. Thomas is the one that speaks up. Everybody else is kind of sorting out what they're going to do. And Jesus said, "I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him." So let's go to Lazarus, where Lazarus is. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." He understood that this way that Jesus was heading into was costly. He understood that the way that Jesus had embarked upon would well cost his life. The Jews had been determined to get him, and it appeared that this was going to succeed. And so Thomas says, "Let's go." He had heard Jesus in John chapter 12 speak in terms of what was coming for him. Look with me at John chapter 12 and verse 32. "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." This he said, signifying what death he should die. And the people they understood what he was referring to. They said, "We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. How sayest thou the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Thomas was in the midst of that. He heard these things. He saw these things. And he's understanding something's going on. And so Jesus, in response, doesn't give him a roadmap and say, here's what you will face. At age 52, you will face this, or age 48, or age 32, or age 20, or 23, or 11, or 10, or... No, he doesn't map those things out. He simply says, "Follow me, trust me." I've got to say, that is a bit unsettling to us. We like to take our contract and we like to put it out in front of him and say, "Here, Lord, here's what I want. Let me note these things down. I'd like to have," and then we enumerate. Not bad things or nasty things, but here's what I would like. And I would like to live so many years, and I would like to have and I'd like to die in peace, and I'd like to have enough money to do, and I'd like to make this trip, and here's my bucket list of things I'd like to do in my life. And then we put a little line at the bottom, and we say, "Okay, Lord, just sign it. Here it is. Okay." And he says, "Oh, isn't that fascinating? I've got one for you." And all we find at the bottom is a line that says, "Sign here." "Well, wait. What are you telling me to do? What are the promises? What are you going to work out for me?" "Just trust me. Sign here." That's a bit unsettling, isn't it? Except that's what Jesus is calling for. I am the way. One writer has said, the cross is the way of Jesus. The cross is laid on every Christian. The first Christ suffering which every man must experience is the call to abandon the attachments of this world. It is that dying to the old man which is the result of the encounter with Christ. As we embark upon discipleship, we surrender ourselves to Christ in union with his death. Thus it begins. The cross is not the terrible end of an otherwise God-fearing and happy life, but it meets us at the beginning of our communion with Christ. When Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. That was written by a man who died at the hands of the German government under Adolf Hitler because of his witness for Christ. Early Christians were people who were called people of the way. People of the way. They understood there was this distinction about I am the way. They were very radical and very different in the way that they did things, and they were called the way. Would you turn with me to Acts chapter 9? Acts chapter 9. We find the account here of a young man giving his account in terms of his own life. Acts chapter 9, verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. People of the way. Would you go with me to chapter 22? Acts 22 and verse 4. Acts 22 and verse 4. Paul is giving his testimony. His name is changed from Saul to Paul. And he says in verse 3, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city of Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as ye all are this day. And I persecuted this way unto death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. The way. Chapter 24. Chapter 24 and verse 14. Again, he's giving his testimony, and he said, but this I confess unto thee, that after the way, which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which were written in the law and the prophets, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. Again, I'm simply underscoring that this matter of the way was something that became an identification mark of early Christians, of saying, they're people of the way. They're people of the way. Jesus said, I am the way. The second thing, then, that I want you to know tonight is the truth that we must embrace. The way that we must follow. The truth that we must embrace, verse 6. Notice it says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. In this, Jesus is not a way. It doesn't say, I am a way, a truth, a life. Nor does he say that he is the way to truth and life. Rather, he is the way, the truth, the life. And I intentionally went back and made sure there are no textual variants of that. There's no textual question on that. That's the way it is in the Greek text. The way, the truth, the life. You say, couldn't you have just accomplished that with one article? He wanted to emphasize that. Yes, he is the way, but you cannot have the way without embracing Jesus as the truth. And you cannot have the way and the truth without embracing Jesus as the life. Rather exclusive claims. Yes, they are exclusive. They call us to follow him. Jesus is the embodiment of truth. John chapter 1 and verse 14. Would you turn back there, please? John chapter 1 and verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. See that? Go with me to verse 17. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. He is the truth. He is the embodiment of truth. And you look on at the very next verse, in verse 18 where it says, he is the only begotten Son in the bosom of the Father. He hath declared him, or he is the exact representation for you to understand. You want to know what God is like? Look at Jesus. That's what he's declaring. Now, in this, go with me to John chapter 17 and verse 17. Easy to remember, 17, 17, double 17. Okay. John 17, 17. John 14, 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 1, 17, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now, John 17, 17. Notice this. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Jesus describes this matter in terms of this word that he has spoken. But remember, in John chapter 1 and verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. It's speaking of Jesus there. So the written word and the living word come together in the one person, Jesus. Therefore, when we say this is exclusive commitment to Jesus, but remember that anything that is true in the world, if it is true, it belongs to the Lord. All truth is God's truth. If it is true, it belongs to the Lord. Sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. Thy word is truth. It's the summation of it. It encapsulizes it. So in noting that, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth. And now we come number three, the life that we must have. The life that we must have. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, please go back with me to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Verse 4. John chapter 1, verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Chapter 3 and verse 15. Chapter 3 and verse 15. I'm not looking at all the references, just to give you a synopsis of them. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting or eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It is the mark of life. Chapter 4 and verse 14. Chapter 4 and verse 14. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And then go with me to John chapter 10 and verse 10. John chapter 10 and verse 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. He has come as the life to give life. Now would you go with me to chapter 11? Chapter 11. Remember Jesus meeting Martha at the time of the death of her brother. And I'm asking you to note with me verse 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Believest thou this? And she said unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. I'm simply asking you to know that Jesus here declares himself to be the life. Then he raised Lazarus from the dead. Just a few verses later, he raised him from the dead, demonstrating that he had the power over death to give life. Now, as I work with that, I come back to this point, Jesus saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. All life comes from God by creation. Spiritual life comes only through Christ by a new creation, by being born again. John chapter 3, Nicodemus again, coming and saying, what do I have to do? And he says, you must be born again. So spiritual life comes only through Jesus Christ by new creation, bringing us from spiritual death to spiritual life. You say, well, wait a minute. I hear even Christian people, Christian leaders, get on television and get on the internet, and they say, no. There are other ways. This exclusivity in John 14:6, that really doesn't mean what it says there. Well, what I want to challenge is that there is no place in the New Testament where you find an account of somebody being declared to be saved through another means of salvation, through another way of salvation. So, go with me, and I'm watching the clock also, go with me to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's speaking here of Christ. Look up in verse 10. By the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. Neither is there salvation in any other. It's only through Christ, they're saying. Go with me to chapter 8 and verse 12. That's Peter. Chapter 8 and verse 12, we find Philip. He's a deacon. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. It's through Jesus Christ. Chapter 8 and verse 35. Chapter 8 and verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. This is the Ethiopian eunuch. I wrote about him the other week in the bulletin, but it's the point where he writes about the Ethiopian, or he tells us of the Ethiopian eunuch coming to Christ. Go with me to chapter 10. Chapter 10. Verse 34. This is the encounter that Peter has with Cornelius and the household of Cornelius. And so Peter opens his mouth and he said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." Then he goes on and he preaches to them and he's announcing to them. And now look at verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. And it goes on. And well, let's drop down to verse 43. To him give all the prophets a witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive the remission of sins. And you find, as the passage goes on, these Gentiles were saved by believing on Jesus. Jews, Samaritans, Ethiopian eunuch, Cornelius the Gentile. And then we look at chapter 13, verses 38 and 39. Chapter 13, verses 38 and 39. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Here, the Apostle Paul is out on a missionary journey. And as he's a missionary, he's speaking cross-culturally, he's speaking into a different area, different region. He is preaching to them of Jesus. I simply go to one more passage here in the book of Acts. The Philippian jailer, the man who was at the brink of suicide, and he was this jailer in Philippi. Verse 31 of Acts chapter 16. Acts 16 and verse 31. He comes and he says, "Sirs," verse 30, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." Now, one final passage in this regard, and we'll tie things together and head to our conclusion. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so I say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Let him be, and the word is anathema. It is not a pretty term. Let him be eternally judged. Let him be eternally damned, because he is bringing damnation upon the souls of those that hear him. This God incarnate in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, is the God who rules and loves. We serve a far better God than all the false gods, and not just because he's real. All the gods of the world promise health, wealth, and satisfaction, and they don't deliver it. Our God may take us through a fire, but we will come out refined. He may take us through a storm, but we will come out washed. He may ask us to take up our cross in this life, but he will deliver us safe and sound for all eternity. It's written by a man named Jay Wilson in his work, The Wonder Working God. I like that. He may take us through all these things, but he will deliver us safely home for all eternity. Jesus called his first disciples to follow him, to exchange their lives for his promises. He promises a safe arrival at home forever. An old writer said, "Follow thou me, I am the way and the truth and the life. Without the way, there is no going. Without the truth, there is no knowing. Without the life, there is no living. I am the way which thou must follow, the truth which thou must believe, the life for which thou must hope. I am the inviolable way, the infallible truth, the never-ending life. I am the straightest way, the sovereign truth, life, true life, blessed, life uncreated. If thou remain in my way, thou shalt know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, and thou shalt lay hold on eternal life." Jesus said, whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way?" Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by me." Can we learn? Can we say those words together just in terms of John 14:6? Jesus saith unto him, let's recite those together. Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by me." Jesus' words need to ring true in our hearts, and they need to be proclaimed to a lost and dying world. Let us pray. Oh Lord, thank you for bringing us on the way that we might know you and that we might live out what it means to belong to you. Lord, we confess that there are lots of times where we do not understand, we have no clue what lies around the corner for us. But we know that we walk with you, our faithful shepherd. And so, like a flock of sheep following their shepherd, may we faithfully follow you, our shepherd. And then I pray as a congregation, as you are bringing us to follow an under-shepherd, may we be faithful in so doing, trusting you to work and to guide as a congregation to lead us forward to do the things that you have in front of us to do. In Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, amen.